Trend number six, the skyscraper boom. In 1885, the Home Insurance Building was completed in downtown Chicago. At 10 stories high, it was then the tallest building in the world. At once, the race was on to build taller and taller buildings, and it seems that the allure of skyscrapers has never really worn off. There have been boom times and bad times over the decades since then. The last big boom in high-rise construction came in the 1960s and 70s, when the Sears Tower went up in Chicago and took the crown as the tallest building in the world from the World Trade Center in New York, which had been completed just 2 years earlier. But the Sears Tower now stands in fourth place, and all its rivals are in Asia, the Pacific Rim, and the Middle East. The Burj Tower in Dubai, scheduled for completion in 2008, is rumored to be 160 stories tall. But its builders are so determined that it will claim the title as the top skyscraper that they are keeping its actual height a secret. The design is such that they can add more floors at the last minute if a challenger appears on the horizon. There is no question that there is a global boom in skyscraper building underway. And although not all builders are vying to erect the highest buildings, they are nevertheless putting up some impressive towers. About 40% of the tallest structures have gone up since 2000, according to The Economist. And in that same period, more than 40 buildings that are at least 50 stories tall were built or planned, according to an Associated Press report. The 124-story Fordham Spire in Chicago will overshadow Donald Trump's 92-story hotel and condominium tower to become the tallest building in North America. With living space costing a record $1,000 per square foot and the penthouse going for $20 million, the Fordham will be the most expensive piece of real estate in Chicago. The question remains, however, do such projects make sense, or are they simply displays of vanity for people with lots of money? The truth may involve a bit of both. There's no shortage of big buildings that go bust, but Trump's new building is already 75% paid for through the sale of condos. Even so, residential skyscrapers are a big financial risk. Many companies build their headquarters in tall buildings for symbolic reasons or to consolidate all their workers in one location. For example, Goldman Sachs is building a new world headquarters in Lower Manhattan. But it's a modest 43-story building, appropriate to a financial firm. And while many companies have relocated to lower-rise facilities since 9/11, working in a skyscraper in a large city is still seen as a viable way of doing business. While residential or mixed-use towers are generally speculative and single-occupant towers are considered a cost of doing business, some of the most spectacular skyscrapers are funded by governments and aren't expected to make money. The Burj Tower in Dubai is one of many examples where the government is footing the bill largely for reasons of prestige. Many newly wealthy nations are willing to pay the price to erect such status symbols. But the most extreme example of hubris is probably the 105-story Rungyong Hotel in Pyongyang, capital of the impoverished communist state of North Korea. In fact, as the Maine report pointed out in a recent Health and Wealth letter, most skyscraper projects are not driven by rigorous economic analysis. They're all about being noticed. That pattern continues to be as true today as it was in the 19th century. But while there appears to be no limits to the egos of the developers of skyscrapers, are there physical limits to how high a high-rise can be? The truth is that every time someone puts a limit on how tall a structure can be built, new technologies come along to defy it. New advances in materials have allowed walls and floors to be made thinner by using high-tech insulation material that was originally designed to carry human blood. Faster elevators and new HVAC technology make the infrastructure of extremely tall buildings increasingly manageable. And engineers now believe that increasingly exotic materials mean that there may be no structural limit to how tall a building can be. Given this trend, here are the five developments we foresee. First, the worldwide boom in tall and super tall buildings will continue for at least the next decade. The global economy will provide the means, and human aspiration will provide the motive. Even as the Burj Tower rises over Dubai, structures more than 1,500 feet tall are either being built or planned in South Korea, Taiwan, Shanghai, Hong Kong, mainland China, and, of course, Chicago. The highest buildings in the next 10 to 15 years will appear primarily in Asia and the Middle East for three reasons. One, Asian and Middle Eastern governments are likely to fund such buildings, while any skyscrapers going up in the U.S. are strictly in private hands. Two, because of the ambitions of the local governments, developers can largely ignore the kinds of regulations that would limit the height of buildings in American cities. And three, the booming economies in those locations will encourage governments and businesses to make bold symbolic statements, including competing aggressively to own the world's tallest buildings. Second, such grand building projects should serve as warning beacons for smart analysts looking for signs of economic trouble ahead. It is typical for enormous buildings to be started at the height of economic booms, when a natural cyclical contraction is about to occur. For example, the Empire State Building was started just before the stock market crash of 1929, and the World Trade Center was started just before the onset of the rolling recessions that defined the 1970s. Expect some of the Asian and Middle Eastern economies to overreach and experience a period of contraction in the wake of extremely expensive and ostentatious building sprees. In places such as China, where local prestige and favoritism have already resulted in overcapacity, don't be surprised to see cities winding up with some very large white elephants. Third, despite the anticipated crisis in the coming decade, the trend toward taller buildings will continue. Throughout history, whether people have built pyramids, totem poles, or skyscrapers, it seems to be human nature to build as tall as possible, given the technology and the economic resources available at the time. We are now on the verge of breakthroughs in material science that will make it possible to construct buildings that will dwarf those of today. In the next 15 to 20 years, look for buildings to top 3,000 feet and present some very unusual shapes on our global skyline. Fourth, the biggest technological challenge for those building the tallest buildings will be managing the elevators. No matter how efficient the technology is, people have to wait for the next car to take them up or down. One innovative solution is being tried by Kone, a Finnish company. Its elevators will send text messages to occupants as they enter the building, telling them which elevator bank to use. Expect innovative technologies in this area, with the prize going to the company that can set the standard for moving people around ever taller skyscrapers. And fifth, by 2050, the global skyline will have been transformed by the advent of nanotechnology and green skyscrapers. Jay Storrs Hall, author of Nanofuture, predicts that from a technical standpoint, the tallest towers could exceed 60 miles in height or higher. And they won't just be big. They'll be chemically and biologically active parts of the environment, taking in pollution and putting out clean air and water as they process pollutants into their component chemicals for reuse. Even today, the new Bank of America Tower in New York is cleaning air and using the heat produced by people, computers, and lights, not to mention sunlight, to make ice, which is then used to cool the offices the next day.